This is Anishinaabe Way, lives, words, and stories of Ojibwe people.
I believe very much that Indian people need to care for Indian people because there is an understanding there, there's a connection there that is so important.
Dr. Joycelyn Dorsher is from the Turtle Mountain Ojibwe Reservation on the border of North Dakota and Canada, the place where her mother was raised.
I didn't think that I'd learned any traditions, but as I look back on it, I realize that I did.
And what kinds of things do you recognize now as being traditional?
Some of the value systems of where we come from and how we're all connected. Those were the kinds of things that she really taught us, and the importance of family. When I told my mom I wanted to be a doctor on the reservation, she got tears in her eyes, which is really something that my mom often did not do, because she wanted me to be a good doctor, and she was hurt that I would go to a place where I didn't have to be a good doctor, because that was her experiences with reservation medicine. And I think that that's changed a great deal. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Native people are working in those communities, in those settings, and are really making a huge difference and trying to bring the quality of care up.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a doctor?
Yeah. When we played Army, I was the medic.
Dr. Dorsher specializes in family medicine. She's also the director of the Center of American Indian and Minority Health at the University of Minnesota Medical School.
My role here is to prepare, recruit, and retain Native American students for the field of medicine. And that sounds very university-like, but I do think that a lot of the things that I and the staff do here and the things that we believe are probably some of the most important things are not very university-like. For example, tomorrow we're all getting together to have a beating circle and to share a meal. It's the social things, I think, that are really important, as well to offer the understanding of how difficult it can be to be in medical school and to have traditional beliefs, and to maintain those traditional beliefs while gaining your education.
Would you say that your gender or your ethnicity was a bigger challenge?
I would say my ethnicity, because nobody ever asked me what it was like to be a woman. But people often asked me what it was like to be Indian. I never, ever had to defend the fact that I was a woman. I did fairly regularly have to defend the fact that I was an Indian.
What would you say are the main cultural issues that a Native student might face that are different from non-Indian students?
I think the responsibilities that a Native student has to community is really significantly larger.
For Native American medical students, traditional teachings often complicate their medical training.
Sometimes it's very difficult for students to understand that what they're doing in this classroom, working so hard and spending all of this time on themselves, is not a selfish thing, but that it is a sacrifice that they make in order to develop the skills that they need in order to help their people in the way that they wish to. You know, I was taught that you do not ask questions of elders. Well, I practice in a reservation community, and if an elder comes in to see me as a patient, the way that I have to interact with them is by asking them questions. And I've had students come in and talk to me about that. From my standpoint, the only way for me to get around that is to ask them if I can ask them.
It sort of brings us into the realm of traditional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
What role then do you see traditional medicine playing in what you do as a doctor?
I see my role as treatment, potentially cure, hopefully cure, not always cure. I see traditional medicine as healing. I think that the two can work very well together if there is a mutual respect. Many Native people see Western medicine as the alternative medicine, and I accept that.
In your view, do you think that Western medicine could use a little more traditional?
Oh, yeah.
Reservation medicine is primarily provided by the Indian Health Service, which is overseen by the Department of Health and Human Services.
The history of the Indian Health Service, it was originally started because diseases were finding their way off of the reservation. So in order to protect the settlers, you had to treat the Indians. These programs are just so amazingly underfunded and often are an afterthought when it comes to healthcare change. If you look at the privatization of some of the medical assistance within the state, the tribes were not included in that. That was an afterthought and it was brought in. If you look at what we as a nation are going to do if there were some sort of pandemic flu, the tribes are an afterthought to something like that. So, I mean, they have to have a seat at the table.
For Native communities, individual health is often tied to the effects of historical trauma on the larger group.
Even though our parents were loving and kind and good, they too had their experiences, and their experiences come to us. And I gotta tell you, even in the field of epigenetics, we are finding that negative experiences can be passed down in the next generation.
How does she see the future of Indian health?
People are working very hard in a lot of different arenas. I think that having a sense of where one comes from is so essential to understand where one is going.
This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People, a series produced by Stacy Droulard with music by Keith Sekola. Funding for the series comes from the Minnesota Legacy Fund and WTIP Community Radio.